You're listening to Self-Propelled, a podcast that explores the process of turning ideas into reality and the secrets behind keeping up momentum once you've started. I'm Dave Cornthwaite, and for 15 years I've experimented my way through a series of personal and social adventures, including Expedition 1000, a self-set mission to complete 25 different non-motorized journeys, each over 1,000 miles. I also founded the Yes Tribe, an optimistic community bonded by the idea of making the most of their time and potential, often by saying yes more. Join me for stories and conversations with self-starters, athletes, and entrepreneurs who need nothing more than a good idea to add a little fuel to that pilot light burning deep within us all. Welcome back to the Self-Propelled Podcast. My guest today is Caroline Southwell. She's an online educator and transformational specialist who works with entrepreneurs, changemakers, and leaders around the world. Caroline joins me from Brisbane, Australia. How are you doing down under?
Really well. Happy to be here.
Can we set the scene first, Caroline? Whereabouts in Australia are you exactly, and what can you see right now?
So I am in Brisbane. For anyone who knows the geography of the city very well, I'm south of the Brisbane River. And right now I can see a surfboard and my stand-up desk and a bookmark that says doing what you like is freedom and liking what you do is happiness.
Oh, I love it. Let's talk about this stand-up desk. Have you always stood up to work?
No, actually. When I moved up here to Brisbane to be with my partner, he is... like so many partnerships, I think, quite different to me. So I'm like intellectually and academically really clever. He's really good at building and making things, which I'm so grateful for. So I realized when he like set me up with this office and I looked at it and I thought, I think I'm really done with this whole sitting down thing. Like I'm really not convinced that it's good for us physiologically. Mm. And so I just happened to mention that a stand-up desk or like being able to stand up would be cool, and lo and behold, he just makes me a stand-up desk. So
just like that,
it's amazing.
The power of suggestion.
Indeed.
Well, beyond training people very well, you've had a varied career. We met back in, I'm trying to remember, we met in Bali in 2015. Does that sound about right? Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. I think that was it. We met once quite briefly, but we've stayed in social media touch since then. And I'm just delighted to chat to you. I always now and then meet people on my travels and wish that I wasn't moving on so fast. And you're definitely one of those people. Caroline, tell us about your work over the last, let's say, 15, 20 years.
Oh, gosh. Mm. So, Dave, like you, I'm a bit of a storyteller and I've had lots and lots of experiences. So 15 years worth of stories could take like, a good couple of bottles of wine at least to even start to dig in. I'm one of those people who spent a really long time trying to work out like what work really lit me up. And so in 15 years, I have literally done like 30 different jobs and about, a dozen different iterations of my business. And I only got into business because I kind of threw my hands in the air and went, man, I've tried all these things for jobs and like none of them work for me. None of them suit me. I had a few that I really loved. Like I loved being an outdoor educator. I'd go into the outdoors with a group of kids and I'd have a curriculum that I needed to teach them. But as long as I like ticked off those kind of handful of things on my sheet, I would then have all this scope to be able to teach that particular group of kids whatever lessons were showing up in the moment. Hmm. And I loved it. I loved it so much. But it didn't feel sustainable for me. Like my work days would be really long. I'd have no alone time. And while the environment I was in was beautiful, I'd have this 15, 20 kilo backpack on my back everywhere we went. Hmm. And I'd never get full nights of sleep. And it wasn't sustainable, even though it lit me up. So I'm kind of delighted that in this very, very long journey that I'm trying to condense into a single answer, that the work that I now find myself doing in my business isn't actually really that different to hanging out with a group of kids in the bush. Like, I still get to teach really meaningful things that help people. And, you know, when I do it in the form of online education, obviously it's like having, you know, I imagine it's like you, Dave, if you're doing a public speaking gig and you get on stage and you're like, okay, I know I'm going to tell this story, I'm going to impart this kind of particular lesson. You're teaching basically one lesson or a couple of dot points to a whole audience. So that's what it's kind of like when I do my online education. And then when I do one-on-one coaching with really conscious entrepreneurs, then I get to like really listen to where they're at and apply the knowledge that I have to help them. And it just gets crafted in the moment as to what is really going to serve them. So you could probably hear the excitement in my voice. I love both of those. They're great.
I could totally hear that excitement. I imagine your eyes are shining right now talking about this. How long did it take you to slowly work out that this is what you wanted to be doing? Or do you think that this is a stepping stone in itself, your current work?
So I'm 39 this year, and that maybe doesn't sound very old to some people. I think generally your audience is probably our age or a bit younger. Is that fair?
It's really hard to tell. Certainly with this podcast, it's only been going a couple of weeks and we've had not too far off 1,000 listens, but my general demographic tends to spread from early 20s right up until 80 somethings with a with a good slice in the 30s, 40s and 50s.
Yeah, okay. So, I mean, sometimes I look at my age and where I'm at and I go, wow, I've had a lot of experience, a lot of like life experience for being the young age that I am. I think a lot like you, Dave, that's probably part of the reason that we, you know, we naturally got along so well is we like really do life in a big way. So I definitely feel like... if I can come back to your question, when I was in school and we were asked to do work experience, I chose to do work experience as a school teacher. Now, some people might argue that the fact that I had two parents who were teachers, that I was just kind of following in their footsteps. But I do kind of wonder if part of me already knew that actually, regardless of what my parents did, that it does actually really light me up to teach. And to help people like understand something new that's going to help them. So I think there was a certain amount of like, I already knew that was kind of part of my path and part of my work. I did a lot of meandering into a lot of different jobs. It's like I went, oh, that's too hard. And then I went and did this other thing and then went, no, that kind of sucks. Okay, well, let me come back and try this other thing again. And so I've done so many different versions of coaching or mentoring or guiding or leading or teaching, which, you know, in so many ways are just, you know, I point to my fingers. It's like fingers on the same hand. I think that if you and I are still talking a decade from now, I think I will be doing some wild, amazing things that this current version of Carolyn will be inspired and in awe of. But I don't think that I'm that far off. So I think that there might be some really interesting things where I get bolder in my self-expression. I have seen myself speaking on stages for a very long time, and I've only ever done that in the past in a piecemeal way. So I often in meditations will get a vision of myself on stage, and I was like, well, that's coming, because that keeps coming up in my visions again and again and again. But I also see things that, oh, it's funny, I was going to tell you, and then my intuition is like, nope, you're not ready to reveal that yet. I'm like, okay, well, then I won't. I'll honor that. But all of it is like, when I think about the things that I can see that I'm not ready to basically speak publicly yet, they're all about more bold self-expression. So doing things that I already do, but in a far bolder, far more public way. I've been writing for a decade, and I know that the way that I write and storytell, that I have managed to get bolder and brighter and generally more courageous over that time. And I think that is also just going to amp up. I feel like I am, let's say, 80% of the way to like the most self-expressed version of Carolyn that could exist as a guess, which is pretty profound. And for the person that I was, you know, before I went to Bali, for example, I've come a really long way from them. So I think this version of Carolyn is probably pretty awe-inspiring to that past one, and it'll just keep moving forward. And I think that's probably true. Like, I imagine that's true for you too, Dave. Someone they would be proud of, and someone that inspires themselves, even if they aren't thinking about inspiring anybody else.
Well, this was my next question. How important is it that we aspire to be someone that we can be even more proud of? That self-inspiration. You want to be inspired by yourself as opposed to just following what others are teaching you. How important is that to you?
To me, I feel like I probably am working towards answering a similar question all the time. And basically the answer is, even though I've probably used different words around the same question, is that it's vitally important. It's the point of living. For me, and I imagine anyone really who is, you know, naturally gravitating towards following your work, Dave, and listening on the podcast, I think probably what we all have in common is that we want to be really alive. We want to do things that light us up and bring us joy, and that we make a life that's worth living. And I think if we pursue a life that's worth living in whatever our unique version of that is, like yours is different to mine, but it has similarities, and then it'll be different to the 20-year-old that's listening to this, and the 50-year-old that's listening to this, and the 80-year-old. And I think if it's doing that thing that feels really meaningful and joyful and light and playful and exciting to each of us, then it's inevitable that the version of us 5 years from now is going to look back and go, wow, the me of today would be really proud of the person that I've become.
I often think about how people's eyes shine when they're clearly making the right decisions and choices for themselves, and they haven't been misled down the wrong path. And I want, every time I look in the mirror, I want my eyes to be shining. That doesn't always happen though. And there have been periods where I found myself back in a trough again. What to you means living life as it should be lived? How does that look to you?
It looks like there's a lot of flow, that things are like clicking and moving easily. And that I feel good about the decisions that I'm making, and I feel good about my, like, the day-to-day actions that I'm taking. But there's a certain amount of like ease and flow that's happening. And I look at it in my work a lot, because that's what I look at with clients, is like helping them to be able to understand how they're designed to make decisions and what it looks like to be in flow and what it looks like to be out of flow. And so for me, I think it's the question I would ask myself is less of like how it looks, but how does it feel? And it feels good, and it feels light, and it feels exciting, and it feels easy. Mm. I think that's one of the biggest things that we overlook in our society, is like there is this, we put up on a pedestal this idea of toughing it out and struggling and working hard. And I think that sometimes it's useful to struggle, and sometimes it's useful to work hard. But even within that, there's still like a level of like I'm in the right place, a sense of knowing I'm in the right place.
Hmm.
Be able to tap into that. We have to be sufficiently connected to ourselves and our own intuition or body wisdom, or like you might say gut instinct, and be really practiced in mostly kind of ignoring what other people would tell us that we quote unquote should do, and go, okay, that's nice, that's good for you, and here's what my body wisdom is telling me, and that's what I'm going to follow.
How important is it to have some room for movement in our day-to-day schedules and routine? If we're following a flow and decisions need to feel easy, then if we're stuck doing the same thing day in, day out, and we barely break from that path, is it possible to have that perfect flow, or do we need a little bit of extra room to grow in there?
Well, I'm a big fan of growing, but I'm probably a little bit extreme in that respect. I'm one of those people that even in my early 20s, my general behavior was if the day I woke up like depressed about the idea of going to work, or like not looking forward to going to work, would be the day I would quit. So I tend to be an extreme example of somebody who goes, nah, let's chuck this one out and try the next thing. And that's not necessarily correct for everybody. And, you know, it's not necessarily work if you are the provider in a household, a family, you've got little kids. You can't necessarily just, you know, chuck it out and start all over again. You know, like the single woman that I was in my early 20s, where I didn't really have a lot of commitments or responsibility necessarily. But I do think that whilst there are some people who are really supported by quite a lot of routine and the rituals can feel really good. And I feel like the stuff that I've seen from you, Dave, where you talk about like practicing new skills regularly, I think that's such a brilliant way to like break open that routine and discover new possibilities. Because if we don't expose ourselves to new possibilities, it's hard to know that we could even possibly grow into something else or what that new reality could possibly look like. So I think it's vital that we do, in whatever way we can, break into trying something new, anything new. Listeners who don't know where to start, like, just try anything. If you've been meaning to like learn how to paint, just do a painting class. Or you've been meaning to try a different type of exercise or something. You know, like doing anything new can create a new opening, a new possibility, and a way for you to creatively express your energy that might surprise you and awaken you. Just create space for new possibilities. And then you don't know what comes after that. You know, my mum used to have this saying when we were bushwalking. And I'm really grateful. Like, we spent quite a bit of time in Australia growing up in the bush. And so dad wouldn't have a bar of it. He almost never used to come. But mum would take the three of us kids bushwalking. And she'd always say, oh, I wonder what's around the corner. Oh, we'll just go to the next corner. And I always remember that because at the time we were like, oh man, we're sick of bushwalking, can't we go home? But that sense of curiosity of like, oh, I wonder around what's around the corner has always stuck with me, because now I kind of, it's opened me up to that, oh, I wonder.
I love that. What's around the corner? What is around the corner for you? When you feel like you need to break some habits that aren't necessarily treating you right, what do you do?
So when it comes to me breaking habits, I tend to dive a bit deeper with this than most people do. So I've read lots on like human behavior and habits and what drives habits. What I found through my work is that usually underneath a habit is something that's really driving it and holding that behavior in place. And often it is unresolved emotion from childhood. So we get, you know, we kind of get lost down the rabbit hole a little bit with this stuff. But what I personally use is a tool called EFT, Emotional Freedom Technique. Some people know it as tapping. And I will use that tool in order to look at what might be holding the habit in place, so I can resolve it from a like a core deeper level, rather than just trying to replace this unhelpful habit with some other habit. So that's what I found works for me. Everyone has different ways of doing it, but I love EFT. I use it for so many things. So that's what I find useful.
I'm really curious about your human design technique. This is mentioned on your Facebook page and on your website as well. And curiously, a few days ago when we sized up a time to get you on this podcast, you sent me a simple question. You know, when were you born? And then you send me this most complicated chart, which I just stared at and my face fell away. I know this can get pretty complicated, and that's definitely not what I'm asking, but what are the basics of human design?
Okay. Well, let me actually tie it to this thing with EFT first and then come back to your question, because that's probably the most useful thing for listeners to hear.
Great.
So when we're born, through a complicated series of things that are far too deep to go into in a podcast, we basically get an energetic imprint. So each of us, some people know, each of us have an energy field that is like significantly bigger than our physical body. You can go and Google it. It's just a thing. It's, you know, without necessarily understanding anything about how it works, each of us have an imprint for how we're basically designed to do life. Now, it's tricky, and the reason that the map probably looks so complicated is because it's a visual representation of this stuff that is actually invisible. So people can go through their whole life, one, not realizing they have an energy field, two, not having a realization that there is a particular way that each of us are designed that is as unique, Dave, as your fingerprints. Which you probably got when you look at your chart and you scratch your head and go, what the heck does this thing mean? but what happens is we're born with this unique way of operating in the world where, you know, some of us like you and I are really good storytellers. Some people are really natural born leaders. Some people are super driven. Some are here to create an impact. Others are here to really influence and guide others. And all of that information is like imprinted in us the moment that we're born. But what happens is our beautiful, loving parents or caregivers, whoever brings us up, then start to teach us how to do life. And all of that information gets piled on top of who we were born to be. And thus, as fully grown, amazing adults, we are this combination of who we were born to be plus who we've been taught to be or conditioned to be. So I put together EFT, Emotional Freedom Technique, with human design to help people understand and unlearn the things that they were taught that are counterproductive to them being that really healthy, fully self-expressed version of them, and really learn who they were born to be through their time, date, and location of birth. So it's pretty amazing, actually. Like if you and I had an hour and I told you about your chart, you would probably just have your jaw on the floor going, this chick didn't know me very well. How does she know all this stuff about me? But it's because all of this information was imprinted into you. You have this energetic blueprint that you carry around and you do for the whole of your life, and it's all on that map. So I feel really, really grateful when I can see somebody's human design chart, because it tells me so much about them. And the teacher and the coach and the mentor in me goes, oh, now I know all this stuff about this person. I can listen to what their goals are, listen to where they're struggling, and then I can help them like course correct so that they can do more of like who they were born to be.
Wow. I'm looking at my human design chart right now, and I'm possibly more confused than I've ever been in my life before. I think there are some people who are listening to this who maybe just they're unsure, to put it kindly. I'm always been wavering on the edge, and I'm coming towards this idea that we are born with this imprint, and then of course nurture certainly has a say in who we become. But as somebody who day to day tries to encourage people to use their actions to develop their personality, their impact, it's hard to imagine that we're born with our design and that's what we have to work with. What would you say to people who are completely believing in nurture as 100%?
I think if somebody believes that nurture is 100% and they're happy with that, then they're probably never going to go down this rabbit hole. And that's okay. I'm in my early coaching days, Dave, I was one of those people who's like, oh yeah, I have to help everyone and everyone has to have all these tools. And now I'm like, you know what? I often say to people, hey, different paths to the top of the mountain. You're going to get there your own way, or you're just not going to choose to climb the mountain. Like, not everyone is going to choose to do what it takes to understand themselves to a depth that they can step into their potential. And, you know, by design, some people are skeptical.
Sure.
Like, that's part of their makeup. And that's perfect, because we need people who are super open-minded and then we need people who are skeptical. It's like the coolest party trick ever, that if I can sit with somebody at a party, like, you know, the cool party that you and I met at. Do you remember? It was like a rock, paper, scissors, massive party.
Do you remember? I do.
It was so much fun. It was hilarious. But, you know, great party trick. If I'm at a party like that and, you know, somebody's like, oh, I don't believe in all this stuff, I can go, great, give me your time, date and location of birth. And if they have their time, then I can get an accurate chart. And then as a total stranger, I can tell them things about them that rightly I should have zero chance of knowing at all. And they will quickly become more open-minded, because there are things that I can tell them about themselves that there's no way I could possibly know. But again, I'm not here to convince anybody, but somebody who listens to this and goes, oh, well, hang on, I've just Googled like energy field and, you know, she's right, we do have one. And like, well, what if there's something to this? Like, what if, I mean, parents see it all the time. I'll talk to a parent who's skeptical and they'll go, oh yeah, I know that the way I nurture my kids influences them, but all three of my kids are different and they were different from the day they were born. Huh. And I go, yeah, so about that. So, I mean, there's amazing, there's so much scope. I mean, sometimes people will say, oh, I don't want to be limited. Don't tell me, like, oh, I'm stuck with this particular blueprint. And it's like, well, no, you actually wouldn't want to live a life where you had infinite possibilities, because your mind literally can't comprehend infinite number of possibilities. It's actually useful that we're limited. And it means that there are certain skills that people naturally have. Like, Dave, you naturally are a gifted writer. Now, I can see that in your chart, even if I'd never read anything you'd ever written ever. You're also a natural leader. Now, if I didn't know that you ran whole communities, I could look at your chart and go, well, you have three leadership archetypal, without getting lost in all of the jargon, but there are three spots on your chart that tell me you're a natural leader. It's there. It's right there in front of me.
Wow. I'm listening to you, and even though I ended up leading a community, I still don't see myself as a natural born leader at all. It's been about just about the hardest thing I've ever done. So what are the benefits?
But I can tell you why that is too.
I bet you can. The little that I can gain some understanding from this chart, and we won't continue talking about this because without people seeing it, it seems unfair. It does seem to have nailed some key characteristics. What's the benefit then of knowing your blueprint, your human design blueprint?
Yeah.
And being able to, is it knowing where you're strong and where you're weak and how to build on that? What do you hope for this project to bring to people?
So it is complicated. Like, it does require somebody getting their chart, and then they're going to have the same experience as you, Dave. They're going to look at it and go, what? the heck does this thing mean? What do I do with this? But that's why I started creating resources that just explain the most important parts of the chart for people who want to understand, so they can start to operate more in alignment, more in flow with how they were born to be, and start to distinguish between their natural born talents and their natural strengths, as you said, and to start like peeling back from the behavior that they think they should do, that they've been nurtured or taught to do, that's actually not correct for them. That's like them, you know, systematically banging their head against a brick wall, and they can go, oh, well, I was never designed to do that thing anyway. No wonder it felt hard. So yes, when somebody understands their chart better or can have somebody explain it, then yes, you get to see where you have natural strengths and talents. Like you do, even though it's been challenging for you, you do have natural strengths as a leader. You have a multitude of ideas. In some ways, you're quite logical and you see new possibilities. You're great at selling people on, you might have interesting beliefs about this, but you have a natural gift for being able to sell people on ideas that will help them come into more integrity and authenticity. And you really care about being in integrity. You really care about doing what you say you'll do. So for me, when I know as much as I do about the chart, I can look at a chart and I can tell somebody those things. And then I can tell them, well, hey, like, Dave, you're actually not really built to be put under a lot of pressure. Like, you actually find it quite hard when other people put huge amounts of pressure on you. Yes. So that's something for you to be aware of. So when other people put pressure on you, you go, you know what? I'd like this much time to get this much project, this project done, and I'll work through it slowly but surely in my own time. Because if I know from looking at chart, if I put too much pressure on you, I don't get the best results out of you, for example.
It's so true. Yeah? So true. Wow. Yeah. We need to spend a lot more time chatting off the air about this. I'm absolutely fascinated. For people who are listening in, where would you advise them to go if they want to find out more about this?
Yeah, so the first thing they need, Dave, is they need to make sure, like, ideally, they will have their exact time of birth. So jovianarchive.com, and I can give you the link to share in your show notes, has a way that you can get a free chart. There are a handful of websites around that you can grab them, but I specifically like this website, one, because I trust the software that they use to create accurate charts, and two, the user interface is super simple and it's super easy. But I will also give you a link to a video that I did that talks people through how to do it. And if you cannot get your exact time of birth for the listeners, then I explain at the end of the video what you can do, but it is a little bit complicated. So I would say for people who are like sitting on the fence, am I going to do this or not totally sure, if you can't get your time of birth, there might be other ways that you want to better understand yourself. But if you can and you're interested, then Jovian Archive, get your free chart, will be the first place. And then on humandesignbasics.com.au, that I know you're going to link to in the show notes, I've created a free online course that basically walks people through what each aspect of the chart is and what are the most important places to start. Because as I know you can see when you look at your chart, Dave, and any listener who pulls up the chart will have the same experience, everyone has the same initial reaction, which is, this is so complicated. What does it all mean? So that's why I created this course, because I got the same reaction again and again and again. I'm like, right, I need a course that answers this question. And then from there, if people are still fascinated, then they can look at the individual courses. And they're the existing plus all of the future courses I'm going to be creating are all going to be housed on that same website. So people can pick their own adventure.
Amazing. Absolutely fascinating. Well, I look forward to talking to you more once we put the phone down. But for now, thanks so much for giving us your time and wisdom. And yeah, I'm Yeah, my jaw's slightly on the table here. I'm like, oh, I am a natural born leader. This is brilliant. Thank you so much for that. That's a good way to start a Friday. Thanks so much, Kara.
Good. Oh, you're welcome. And I hope that anyone who does explore this stuff has... That's my intention with this work always, Dave, is to, whether it's EFT or human design or any of the other tools, I want people to walk away from an interaction with me feeling empowered and like there is like more possibility. Hmm. So I'm delighted to hear that I've left that impression. You've had that experience. And that's what I hope for the listeners, is that by engaging in any of this work, and I want to say, anytime you engage with any kind of coach or teacher who's doing anything in the like personal development or transformational space, I want for you to walk away feeling like empowered and go, oh, there's more possibility for me. Because really, there is.
And that's what life is about. Incredible. To find out more about Caroline's work, head to her website at humandesignbasics.com.au. Don't forget the .au at the back end. And she's also got a page on Facebook. It's at Human Design Basics. Please subscribe so you don't miss any new episodes. And if you enjoy the podcast, I'd love it if you could leave a thoughtful review. Stay tuned for a feast of inspirational guests and tales that I very much hope will encourage you to begin your own new journey.